What up, what up? Jimmy Murray here with Frank Petalano, and we are the Cashflow Kings. The Cashflow Kings podcast discusses money, finance, mindset, and investing with an emphasis on cash flowing real estate.
Thanks for joining the Cashflow Kings, and welcome to our new episode, Flipping and Wholesaling in Ohio with Tommy Haar. We are here to help you crush your goals.
Tommy, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, fellas. I definitely appreciate it.
My brother from another mother out in Ohio. So for those of you guys who followed us for a minute, you know that I'm an alum of Ohio State. So Tommy's actually out in Ohio running a flipping and wholesaling business. So we'll dive a little bit deeper on that today. But Tommy, how did you get started in this?
Yeah. So born and raised in a small suburb of Columbus, Pickerington, if anybody's familiar with it. Yep. My dad growing up had two businesses all in real estate. One of them was a home inspection company. And then also in 07, 08, he got a call from a bank and started a property preservation business. So basically
big just money.
Doing what it took. And he got a call and they were like, can you winterize a house? So in Ohio, it obviously gets really cold in the winter. Banks were foreclosing on a lot of houses and somebody needed to start keeping these houses preserved to be able to then sell them off without the assets losing all their value. So he started a business, property preservation, and that grew to about 60 employees. So as I was 11, 12, 13, up to the time I was 18, I was helping him out in the summertime when I didn't have like soccer practice or any other sports, mowing lawns, trashing out the houses, boarding the houses up. And that's kind of how I got into the real estate side. But when I graduated college, I went to the University of Dayton, so not too far from OSU. Played soccer there and also got a finance degree, but came back home and became a home inspector with my dad. So I'm one of five kids. I'm the oldest boy, and just decided I was like, hey, you've given me a lot. You've take care of our family. I feel like I got to take care and help you guys out as well. So that was my mindset.
Love it. I have a degree in finance as well. And it's funny. Nice. We're both not using the degree in finance, but here we are. Right?
Yeah, people are like, oh man, you're in real estate. You kind of use it. I'm like, no, not at all. I mean,
not at all, man. No, I say, I'm like, honestly, I probably couldn't have got the same education, learn the same things at a casino, right? Risk probability,
yeah.
options. But yeah, all good stuff. So, like, you come back home, you're involved in the home inspection business. I think it's super cool that there's some form of legacy there working with your dad. I admire that. How do you bridge from the home inspection business to get more into what you do today?
Sure. Yeah. So when I started, I knew nothing about houses, by the way. So people are like, oh, you had an easy break. I knew nothing because I grew up in the property preservation. That's just grunt labor. You just throw stuff out of a house and you board them up. Like, that's not really knowing what a house is. So we started doing draw inspections, a ton of them for banks, hard money companies to be exact. So like Lima One Capital, Fund That Flip, all these big companies around the country. This is 2017 for the timeline's sake. And Columbus was starting to boom, like right when these areas were starting to turn. And my dad looked at me, we were in this one rough area that's now become actually pretty nice. He's like, I can't believe anybody's flipping a house on Wilson Ave. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of crazy. And started to see all these draw inspections, started to meet the contractors. And I would just follow the people on Instagram, right? And I would be like, okay, who are these people doing it? And then I see these people jumping off yachts. I see them living a great lifestyle and all this stuff. I'm like, huh. So I'm in the house taking pictures for $75. These guys are not even at the house making all this money. I got to learn what these guys know, right? And it kind of comes back to a couple of days before I graduated college, my uncle, my mom's brother, called me and he asked me if I wanted to invest in real estate, but in Chicago, because that's where he lives. Mm-hmm. But he's from Columbus. And I said no, because I knew nothing about it. And once again, I wanted to go work for my pops. And after I started seeing all these home inspection things and these draws, I rehashed it. I was like, hey, remember that conversation we had? Can we talk about that again? But in Columbus, I don't want to go anywhere else. I'm doing it here. And that's kind of was the start of it all.
I love that. I didn't realize it was a truly Columbus side. It was Ohio, but this is super cool. So everything you're talking about, like, I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
And also, like, I graduated in 2010. So like, I've gone back to campus a couple of times. We try to make it back every year to catch a Buckeyes game. And just the growth between like the short north and bridging that gap to campus, because that area was a little sketchy for a minute there.
Right? Yep.
And just to see the growth there, not in the other neighborhoods, like outside of kind of downtown Columbus there, has been really cool. And it's cool to hear that you've been a part of that in terms of turning around these neighborhoods.
Yeah. 5 years ago, Jimmy flew out there. He says, hey, why don't we buy a large apartment complex? He's going to do some research, this and that. And we look and we're like, Dude, I don't even know this neighborhood anymore. It's changed so much.
Yeah. And honestly, a ton of money and investment out there. I like if you think about even like the money they put into Nationwide Hospital,
It's
it
insane.
was already out there and booming, right?
It's insane. So like that was the start of all, because right around Children's, so you got like 43206, so you got German Village, and I don't want to get too in the weeds, but you got the other
No, you're
side of
good.
Parsons, which is super, like it's always known for being really bad. So that was always really bad. And now Children's, all that economic growth is pushing it down. So now all of those areas surrounding are becoming really nice and expensive. So it's funny, whenever I talk about Ohio, they're like, oh, Ohio, cheap houses. And I'm like, dude, my average purchase price on
Not
my
in
flips
Columbus.
now are like 250 grand. This stuff is not really cheap anymore. So it's not necessarily a cash flow market at all, but you could still get some. And I don't know if you guys know this, but I also own about 110 units here in Columbus as well. So
Good stuff.
I buy assets as well, and we kind of just look at all the different exits.
So when you're
So
talking
what
about
is?
buying assets, are we thinking buying multifamilies, buying single families, college rentals if you're close to the school, like
Yeah.
what's your sweet spot there?
I wish it was college rentals, but all that stuff is just priced out. I mean, there's four or five people that own all of campus and they'll never sell. I own most, I mean, it's everything kind of stemmed out from wholesaling. So wholesaling was the beginning and house hacking. So I was like, okay, I'm going to house hack. I'm going to do this and I'm going to kind of branch out. And then as you start to wholesale, the low hanging fruit, most of the deals you're talking to are 1 to 4 units anyway, really 1 to 2 units. So we just started kind of picking off those. And we've taken down, we have a couple 8 units. We have a couple small commercials. I'm sitting in an office I bought 2 weeks ago, a 33-unit office building up in Upper Arlington. So we'll take down the stuff.
By the way, Upper Arlington is super nice area. So don't let it, but he like glossed over that. That's where Urban Meyer lived when he coached at Ohio State. So like that's a very affluent neighborhood. So
it's a nice
that's a
area.
nice ass place to have an office.
So with that just being said, I don't say it to like brag, but I pride myself on being versed in pretty much everything. So if a deal comes across, I can underwrite a commercial deal as well as I can underwrite a $50,000 flip that's fire damaged, right? So I like to be able to look at everything.
Tell us about your first deal.
Okay. So in Bexley, which is kind of central Columbus, so once again, I called my uncle. I said, hey, let's look back at this investing thing. He's like, well, let's start a company and let's flip a house. So as I started meeting these contractors doing these draw inspections, one of the contractors put me onto this house, 5 beds, 6 bath, 4,000 square foot house, foreclosure in Bexley. And
Damn,
for those
a
of
big house.
you listening, Columbus is known, or even Ohio, for example, is known for their really old houses as well. So you got this house was 120 years old, and it was 4,000 square foot, and it was a massive house. So I lived in the house. It was my way of getting out of my parents' basement. And over the next 14 to 16 months, me and my uncle lost 100 grand on that house, flipping it.
Damn.
Yeah.
What'd you buy it for?
We bought it for 420. We ended up selling it for 710. I wish I could tell you the exact number that we put into it. Our books were just not good. We probably put about 250 in, and we held it for 16 months, and the holding cost just ate us alive. Should have fired the contractor way longer. It sits on a double line road. So if anybody listening knows Bexley, there's one main road that goes through. It's Cassidy, and it's up towards the north side of the area. So it sits on a double line road. It sits right at a stoplight. So now that I know all the things I know about real estate, it kind of just checked all the boxes. Like you got to really pull back and analyze it a little bit more.
So if you guys aren't picking up on that lingo in terms of the double lined road, that is a busy street, right? That's the main road that every the main drag, just to go a little bit deeper on that one. So you buy your first one, and we talk about wholesaling, right? So I would imagine at this point, my assumption would be that you're generating your own leads, and then from those leads, you're going to buy those, but maybe potentially wholesale them or flip them. Like, what's your strategy now?
So our strategy now, so we have a full operation. We've got about 11, 12 employees on staff in Ohio in office, and then another probably 8 overseas, mostly in the Philippines. But it's heavily based on lead gen. So most of the employees are for the lead gen side. So we're pulling lists online. So high equity, motivated sellers, absentee owners. So they own the house, but they don't live in it, i.e. a landlord. So there's more probability of them wanting to sell at a discount.
Got it.
So we're cold calling those people at mass. We're texting them at mass, and we're about to start TV ads. So, hey, I'm Tom. I'll buy your house for cash. And they call us, and then we basically are doing old school sales. So we're talking to them, figuring out what their motivation is, figuring out why they're not selling it on the market. And then we go in and we try to make a deal off market. And then that will stem into the three spokes of our wheel, I call it. One of them, we can wholesale them. Two, we can take it down. I raise a lot of private money, so I raise capital. I'll fix and flip it. Or most of our deals work as a fix and flip or a rental property. So it depends on our cash position, the cash flow, and how much money we have in the deal. I could also keep it as a rental property. So you can still have that in Columbus. And you can get good debt on properties here too. Like the loan size can still be pretty good. You can pay down a decent amount of debt. So those are the three ways that I like to exit deals.
I love that. So multiple exit strategies, no matter what comes across your desk. But at the end of the day, you control it because you've produced the lead and secured the contract.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to back up a little bit here. You did that first deal. You lost around 100 grand. What did you do next?
So I moved
Because
in.
many people we know would just give up.
Yeah, so I moved back in with my parent in my parents' basement. And I'm 24 at the time. And I always like to preface, like, it was most of my uncle's money. I had some of it in there because I we made a deal that I'd pay it back over time. But I moved back into my parents' basement. And during this whole time, probably the next 4 years, I'm helping build my dad's home inspection business at the same time. So hiring an inspector, building that out, learning systems, because really he didn't have any of that stuff. It was really old school, just like wake up, work, punch the clock, and then come back,
Yeah, man.
make a good living. So I was learning all that stuff through the home inspection company. And I was like, huh, there's really something here with VAs and just learning that. So I went back, I had about $800 in my bank account. I sent out postcards. So pulled a list online from ListSource. A lot of people don't use that anymore, but ListSource, it was an absentee owner list. I sent out $800 worth of postcards. I got three phone calls from it. I got one deal, tried to wholesale it. Nobody wanted to buy it. So I was like, well, I just worked all this time. I spent this money and this is really all I got. I got to figure it out. So I ended up calling a family friend. They funded the deal. So they lent me 60 grand. I bought a house for 54,000. I put 20 grand in. We sold it for 130. So I flipped it.
Damn, that's a good turn.
Yeah, it was a great deal. I did most of the work and just learned that it doesn't have to be this big, sexy house to make a lot of money. It can be
That's
these
it, man.
simple C class, C plus, B minus assets. And that's really what changed my whole life.
Trophy
Honestly, I feel
properties
you
are
there.
hard to
That's the
make money.
game. Yeah.
That's the game. Like when we look at our flips, like our entry level for first time home buyer is going to be somewhere between 300 or 400,000. Like that's the sweet spot when we're able to pick something up. We want to make sure we hit that first time home buyer on the backside, the largest pool of buyers. And then like
Absolutely.
anything 500 plus, it's going to sit on the market longer. So you talked about getting killed on your holding costs on that first deal. That's a real thing. Like people
Very.
don't think about that. When you get started and you haven't cleared many deals, like you're not thinking about that.
No.
You're just thinking, oh, I got a deal. You're not
Yeah.
thinking about the amount of time. You're just excited because you have something. Like it's a very competitive market where we're at. I would imagine Columbus is the same, if not even hotter than where we are. But wholesaling has become very sexy, right? So everybody wants to do it. Everybody's trying to lock up the deal.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks it's way easier to be a flipper.
Yeah,
It's actually a
it's
lot of work.
just so much. There's just low barrier to entry for wholesaling, and that's kind of what screws the game up for everybody is like, oh, I can go do this. I watch a YouTube video, but you don't know the principles of real. You still need to know the fundamentals of investing in real estate to be a good wholesaler, right? Because the only way you make money is solving a problem for more than one person, the seller and the buyer. The buyer needs
Right.
a Then you need to know ARVs, you need to know the rehabs, or at close at least. And you need to know like that somebody is probably borrowing money or their money's not free. So you need to know all those costs that are getting taken off of the ARV.
Yeah,
So
and
you
honestly,
mean
like
you go ahead, Jim.
the deal that Frank and I were taking down, and the wholesaler is like, "Dude, I'm gonna make a 50K wholesale fee. Like, I don't want you to be mad." I'm like, "Dude, we're set up. We're about to make 100 grand on the flip. So,
Right.
like, we're good. I'm gonna give you a fist bump in the closing. You made 50K. Let's keep rocking."
Amazing.
Right. But I think that's where some of these investors have the egos and they're like, oh, this wholesaler made all this money. It's like, well, they negotiated the deal
Yeah,
without.
and that's why I love wholesaling, and I also will pay any wholesale fee as long as my numbers work because I know the grind to be a good wholesaler and be consistent and actually build a business. It is so much time, money, and effort. There's a
Yes.
reason why people don't stick around in this business because it sucks. I mean, it is a cash suck. It is a grind. So, I mean, we just paid a $115,000 assignment for a five pack of properties that we completely burned out of $0 in the deal. I mean, that's enough. It's amazing. I'll pay that all day.
Hell yeah. You got $0 in the deal. You
Yeah.
got monthly cash flow. Yeah,
Yeah.
$115,000 to a wholesaler. Take that all day, like you
All
said.
day.
Well,
All day.
that's where some of these investors they get a little twisted. It's like, well, then you got to figure out how to find the deals.
Exactly.
Just going back to the new wholesalers, I was just thinking, like you said, they watched one YouTube video, especially ones with no experience in real estate. So they're going in, they're putting a property under contract, no idea what the true cost is to flip it. And then they're looking on Zillow, getting the top ARV in the neighborhood. It's okay, it's an extra bedroom and stuff like
Right.
that.
True. Yeah.
It's an extra 1,000 square feet, but we're not gonna look at
Yeah,
that.
it doesn't matter. I mean,
I think what's really cool too is that you have that home inspection background. So even if you didn't know anything in the beginning, you clearly learned something, and it sounds like you really built up the back office. Those skills are highly valuable. But being around your dad those first few years, even if you didn't know anything coming into the business, learning and understanding what he knows in order to provide value to his clients, that translates extremely well into what you do now.
Yeah, that was huge. And I don't talk about it enough. There was two things that happened. Number one is learning how to run a small business. So learning that the client experience really matters and being able to pick up the phone, talk to somebody, run through your process, like what is your value prop? Like that's what small business is. And number two, as I wanted to buy from wholesalers and learn to wholesale, I started to realize that wholesalers, one, took terrible pictures. And number two, they didn't know anything about houses. So I was like, man, this is an opportunity right here. So I kept going to meetups and I was like, you know, I think there's something here. So I went up to the guy who was running the meetup and I said, hey, for $75, I'm assuming you pay 50 to a college kid or a contractor to take pictures. I'll do it for 75. But what I'll also do, I'll give you 200 pictures and I'll give you a one-page report on that house. So I'll give you roof, siding, windows, doors, porches, decks, gutters, foundation, electrical, plumbing. And you can present this to your buyers, and you can also use this to renegotiate. But my caveat is I want to see how you're doing this. And I would go to these and I would talk to the sellers and ask them how they found them, what the motivation was. So I'm seeing the seller side, and now I'm seeing how they're finding the deal, how they're exiting the deal. So I was seeing the inside of a wholesaler's business, and I've bought in deals that way. And my family whole inspection company still does those inspections, not for 75 anymore, but for 150 now. And it's been a great thing that we did.
Tommy, what's the biggest challenge in your business right now?
The biggest challenge is now bringing in the right people and just being a better leader, you know? So now I'm not hitting the phones. So we wholesale, we flip, we do rentals. So making sure I bring in the right project managers, making sure we're building the right systems, the right processes, and building culture. I mean, that's a big thing. And learning how to, because my dad comes from a get up, work hard every day and make money. And it's really different when you actually are running a business. It's not a knock on him, but you got to learn how to work differently. And that's really kind of been a hard thing over the years is like, if you're not crossing off like little tasks, you don't feel like you're completing things in a day. That's been a hard thing to kind of learn over the last couple of years.
Honestly, culture is huge. Frank was smiling a little bit because he knows like we're really big on culture with what I built. And honestly, it's very similar to you, but it started with the management company versus
Nice.
wholesaling. But essentially, like I've got a team of 27 now, but
Holy shit.
we just wrapped up day two of quarterly reviews. But
Wow.
it's amazing. Like I came from a corporate culture because my dad told me to go to Ohio or go to college, not to Ohio State. That was my choice, but go to college, read the books. He was the
We're losing him again.
Yeah.
carpenter. So he was like today, apparently. But very similar. So it's cool to hear your story. But building the culture is the most critical piece so that we can
Yeah.
build legacy through owning the business, not just having something that pays the bills, but hopefully something
Right.
that we can pass down to our kids, that next generation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any plans? Your plans to just stay in Columbus, or any plans to grow?
I'm a big proponent of going deep, not wide. So whenever I decide that Columbus, we've outgrown the market, which would be, I mean, to me, it's really hard to do because Columbus has been a top five market the last, really since I've gotten into real estate, 5 to 8 years, and there's a lot of growth here. So I think that just continuing to go deep, maybe on the wholesale side, we'd have to maybe go outside, but on the buying side and flipping, we're gonna stay in Columbus for the time being.
Love it. Plus, honestly, dude, you know your market cold as you're talking about roads and areas. Like knowing your farm area is huge, huge, huge.
It's a huge leg up because, I mean, once again, as a home inspector, I mean, I was doing 3, 4, 5 inspections a day, and then you throw those draws on top of them as filler work. I mean, I drove every street multiple times. Like, you could tell my team tries to play games with me all the time, and they'll be like, "Hey, Tom, what's the zip code?" And they'll throw me a street name, and I can almost every time tell you the zip code, no matter what. So
That's
learning
amazing.
deeper than that, okay, how old are those houses? I know some of the issues that come with a lot of those areas too. Like, I know 43211, which is Linden, they have foundation issues. So whenever I'm talking to somebody or teaching my team, I'm like, "Hey, these have these problems. Make sure when you're talking to the seller, you outline those, and you, or when you're talking to buyer, just learning the micro markets is really important."
So true. We had one pass to us last week. And I said to the wholesaler, I was like, "Well, who's going to pay the sewer assessment? Because I know the sewer hasn't been connected, and that's 17 G's, which
Wow.
is 20% of the project budget." And they're like, "How do you know that?" "I know
That's
my
the only
market
city
really
that
well."
has it too.
That's a weird neighborhood where they're connecting sewers, right? So I can't make a $17,000 mistake. That'll not blow the whole project, but it's going to eat away at the profits. It's a big chunk.
Absolutely.
Tommy, so how far out do you go? What's your radius? 45 miles each way or?
Yeah, we'll go about an hour out, always. I mean, we're doing like 20 flips or so at a time. And my team likes to test me and buy, like, I'll buy stuff that they, if they want to go out that far. But there's opportunity costs and everything, So we try to stay
Absolutely.
in close, but we'll go out if there's opportunity.
What do you
Jimmy,
think are
that's
some
pretty
of
much
the
where you
rules?
are. One
Similar. I'm
hour.
not up to 20 deals out of 20 or 30 deals.
No,
I
but 1 hour around.
But about 1 hour in terms of, like, from where I'm located right now. What are some of the most critical tools that you leverage within your business in order to manage that many products at a time?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So we built out a really in-depth project tracker. So number one is like, so it breaks it out into like 10 different tabs. So invoices, receipts, and our everything funnels through our VA. So we only buy from Lowe's and Amazon and maybe some like smaller places locally for flooring and tile. Doing that, it allows us to, one, get discounts, and also our VA has our LAR, Lowe's accounts receivable, and when we pay anything, he breaks down the receipt and it goes into our tracker, so we know where everything's at all times by the line item. And it we input all of our HUD. It tells us where we're at daily on private money. It tells us our cash position, positive or negative, meaning have we spent our private money yet, or do we need to raise more money, or do we need to fire sell this house? And then we have a lot of like our scope of work are pretty in depth. And then we've started using Company Cam now. So for a long time we used Trello, which is a good software, but we're now using Company Cam, which from what I understand is one of the best ones out there, because it integrates like a Dropbox picture, because we're doing like Dropbox for pictures and an end of day email and stuff like that, and this kind of bridges all those gaps.
Gotcha. I'm gonna go check out company. I've heard of it, but now that I hear the areas, I'm gonna go give that a closer look for sure.
It's good. Yeah, and if you guys want that project tracker, just let me know. I'll shoot it to you guys.
Yeah,
That's cool.
that'd be
Yeah.
awesome. I appreciate that.
So, Tom, I'm going to ask you the same questions I ask all of our guests. The first question is, if someone wants to become a better investor, what would you recommend?
If you want to be a true investor, so and I throw out wholesaling when I say investor, because you're not an investor if you're a wholesaler. So if you want to be a really good flipper and or hold investor, you have to learn construction. You have to learn the ins and outs of a house. You have to, like, stop taking your contractor's word for it, because once they realize that you don't know anything, I mean, this is your living. You got to be able to, like, checks
True.
and balances people. So learn components of a house, learn construction, learn how to build a scope of work, and learn how to speak the lingo. Hell
Perfect.
yeah.
If so, I'll throw in an extra one. If someone wants to become a better wholesaler, what do you recommend?
If you want to be a better wholesaler, one is set the right expectations for yourself. It's not a get, like, it's the fastest way to get to money, but it's all a lever of time and money. So if you have not a lot, if you don't have a lot of time and you got some money, you can bypass the cold calling. You can then buy some systems and some outsourcing, but then you have to spend, like, the more time you spend on the money-driven activities, i.e. talking to sellers, is where you need to be. So outsourcing all of that stuff as soon as you can is the best way to become a good wholesaler. And don't be afraid to talk on the phone, and consistency will always win.
So, what's funny about that? So, I own a virtual assistant company, and we have a
Nice.
lot of people that call up and they want to get cold callers. It's like do you have any experience in cold calling? They say, no. And I said, you really have to understand a lot of that part of the business before you just hire it out to somebody else. You know.
Completely agree.
Next
Completely agree.
question. What is one book that you've read that you would consider a must read?
Who Not How? Who Not How by Dr. Dan Sullivan.
Thought I
I
had that
mean,
one on my desk. I have it at home. I was
it's
reading that one.
especially coming from like the home inspection side and like feeling like you need to do everything to make a buck. Like that book just completely changed my mindset around people and getting things done.
I'm listening to it the second time right now.
I just told somebody about it the other day too. I need to get it. I need to pick it back up and read it again. It's been like 4 years.
Last question. What do you want to be when you grow up? Which basically means 5 years down the line or so. Where do you see you and your business?
Oh man. Everything I've done, I mean, my wife's my family. So I just had a newborn 4 months ago. So he'll be what,
Oh,
5 years,
congrats,
5 years
man.
old then.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, I want to teach him the business. I want to teach him, even though like trying to get rid of like the financial woes that I grew up with, like, hey, we can't do this because of money, but teaching the hard work aspect that I was taught from my dad. So as we grow, maintaining like that hard-nosed mentality, the Ohio, like, I mean, it's Midwest Ohio mentality. You can't get out of that. And just continue to grow. You know, I mean, we have 10 people on staff. We've been growing year over year. I want my team to buy rentals. I want my team to take care of their wives, their kids, and create better lives for themselves. So be able to have that platform for people.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So we appreciate you coming on the podcast today. If somebody wanted to reach out to you or give you a follow, like, where's the best place to track what you're doing on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so I'm super active on Instagram, TommyHar05. I run my DMs. I respond. All I ask is make sure you exhaust some of the free things I give, like my YouTube or some. Like, don't ask me a really basic question and get mad if I give you a basic answer back. I get that so often. But if you have a deep question and like it's thought out, like absolutely, I'm going to help you out. But just please exhaust resources before you do that.
Good stuff. So you guys heard the man, TommyHar05. Check him out on Instagram and dive a little bit deeper on his YouTube before you hit him with a question. Bring him something good. So we hope that you guys enjoyed this episode of the Cashflow Kings podcast. In between podcasts, check out our daily content on Instagram and Facebook under the Cashflow Kings. Cheers to your success.
The Cashflow Kings program is for basic entertainment purposes only. We do not give official legal, tax, or investment advice.
OH.
IO.